Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Today, I am moving on to mentor number three. I've been doing a series of programs on these four key figures, all men, three priests, who have had a profound impact on my life. And I'm handing on to you the insights that I received from them. Not all of them, but some of the key ones that really stood out as I reflected on their lives and their impact on me. And so today I'm starting in on the third. Who is that? I'll tell you in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, thank you for the gift of our lives and our faith. Thank you for, Lord, those holy men and women that you bring into our lives precisely to be a blessing to us, to pour into us, to forge us in the furnace of holiness, and to help us understand who you are, Lord, and what you want for us. Lord, I thank you for the gift today of Father Tom Forrest. And I ask, Lord, that he would be enjoying the fullness of eternal life with you. Please, Jesus, if there's any purification that remains, I pray, Lord, that it would happen quickly and completely. And Lord, I just ask as well that you would hear his heart's cry on my behalf and on behalf of those who are going to hear this program. Father Tom, please pray for me and for what I share today, that it would be a beautiful way of honoring you and being a type of legacy. Lord, I just pray that this would be a blessing of handing on to so many others what he handed on to me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, so Father Tom Forrest is the third of these four spiritual mentors, spiritual fathers that God gave me in my life. And just again, a quick summary of why I'm doing this. One of the most important means that God uses to help us grow in holiness, to advance on the path of discipleship, to discover and to live our mission more fully, is through the mentors, through those whom God brings into our lives to lead us, to teach us, to pastor us, to shepherd us. And along the way, these key individuals that God brings into our lives, they are huge blessings to us. But in the spirit of tradition and stewardship, the insights, the blessings, the ways of naming their impact on my life, yes, it was a huge gift to me, but I don't think it was only given for me. But the gifts that I received, the blessings I received, the insights that were handed on to me and forged into me, were handed on to me for the sake of many others. And maybe today, you. Maybe some of the things that I gained from Father Tom Forrest, as I hand them on to you, you'll find striking. You'll find having an impression in your mind and in your heart. I know if you've followed my life in ministry and my time on the radio these last 20 years, that you'll, when you hear some of the key things that Father Tom handed on to me, you're going to say, oh my goodness, Tom, I thought that just had come from you. I thought that was some brilliant insight that you had come up with. And no, in fact, it was not. It was something that was handed on to me from Father Tom. And I integrated it. I made it my own. And I've begun to live it and share it with others. And now I'm calling them out, calling it out into the open to say, hey, this was a huge blessing I received. Okay, now do two things with that. So the first is this. I want you to think about the leaders, those again, spiritual mentors, pastors, teachers, shepherds, people who speak into your life, who are they? And if you are not able to identify anyone, pray about that. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord that he would grant you the blessing of having spiritual leaders that could pour into your life, that could, again, help forge and mold and shape you to be able to live the life of faith that God has for you to live. If you desire to grow in holiness, one of the, again, beautiful and principal means is through these holy men and women that God brings into your life. The second is, if you have received those types of spiritual fathers and mothers and leaders, etc., give thanks to God for them. How often have you thanked the Lord for the blessings of them? Have you ever thanked them? Write them a note, give them a phone call, send them an email, a text. Reach out to them and just let them know how much I really appreciate you and all that you have done for me. And so I encourage you to do that. I did have the opportunity to share that with each of these three priests that I'm talking to you about, first of all, right? It was Father Mark Noonan, Father Mark Montminy, and now Father Tom Forrest. And I did have a chance to thank them, and I was very grateful to God for that that awareness to do that. But I encourage you to do that. Okay, and then here's the last point in all of this. You who have been the recipient of many gifts, many blessings, do you have a sense of stewardship? Do you have a Catholic sense of tradition? Meaning 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 5, 1 Corinthians 15, St. Paul says, I hand on to you, brothers and sisters, what I myself, first of all, received. And that's the principle of tradition, that the church, as the word of God, is this process of handing on from generation to generation all that we are and all that we believe. And so we who are Catholic Christian disciples of Jesus, we are swept up in that principle of tradition, that we are intended to hand on, to hand over to others the blessings that we have received. And so the most natural places to do that, if you're married and you've been blessed with children, is going to be right there. Handing on to your kids an entire way of seeing, a consciousness, an entire way of seeing the world, a way of relating, an attitude, a way of relating to the things that are happening in your life, and behaviors, how to actually live day to day. And so that's something that Carrie and I have been, to a degree, conscious and intentional about saying, here's how we ought to live in relationship to our kids, to hand over to them the things that we've received, on the one hand. On the other hand, I see the gaps. And I'm at this stage in my life where I have two kids out of the house, four kids away at college who are acting as if they're more or less out of the house until they need money. but there's this definite, swinging of the pendulum or going over the top of the mountain. There's a downhill trajectory of these kiddos out of the house. And I feel that sense of gap. Like, wait a minute. There's so many blessings and, again, insights that I've received. And I know that I handed some of them over, but there's so much else that I didn't hand over to my kids. And so in a certain sense, I'm doing this to hand over to everyone, but maybe, in fact, part of my call is to pass on these programs to my kids and say, listen to these programs and see what you take away from them. If you can get more insight into your own dad by listening to these programs about these mentors, and because it's my desire to, again, forge in them the gifts and graces that will help them become the saints that God intends them to be and to fulfill the mission that is theirs. But beyond your kids, it's also the people that are around you. If you're involved in different ministries and in the life of the parish and different programs, and you have opportunities to hand over to others the gifts and blessings that you've received. That's the principle of tradition. Okay, so with all that said as my background, let's dive into Father Tom Forrest. Father Tom Forrest, a Redemptorist priest, he was a missionary in the Dominican Republic for over 20 years. And it was there that he got impacted by the Catholic charismatic renewal. And as a result of that, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The gifts and graces of Pentecost became his in a whole new way. He became particularly anointed and blessed to use his priesthood, but also his gifts and graces as a preacher and a teacher and a leader to be put at the service of the Catholic charismatic renewal. And his influence went all the way to the worldwide level. And so in the 1980s, he was working out of the worldwide office of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal and felt a call that came from his interactions with Pope John Paul II and his call for a new evangelization and putting a particular emphasis on the Great Jubilee year 2000 to respond to the Pope's call for this new evangelization by promoting a decade of evangelization, that the 1990s would be a decade of evangelization. And towards that end, he began a worldwide initiative called Evangelization 2000. And so this office had continental offices. It had offices in all these continents, and it had several initiatives, including putting together the largest gathering of priests on a retreat in the history of the church. So Father Tom put on three of these retreats in 1984, 1990, and 1995. I think ended up being in 1996, sorry, 95 or 96. And his priest retreats, where did they happen? Yeah, they happened at the Vatican in the Paul VI audience hall. How many priests were at these retreats? I think one with 7,000, one had about 8,000. Yeah, priests from around the world coming together to go on retreat. Who were the speakers at this retreat? Well, people like Mother Teresa, Pope John Paul II, the then Cardinal Ratzinger, really like the most prominent Catholics in the entire world were speaking at these retreats. Father Tom spoke at these retreats as well. And other of the continental leaders of Evangelization 2000 and some bishops spoke as well. So there are many other things he did through Evangelization 2000. I'm not going to dive into all of them now, but I just wanted to give you an overview of his ministry. So he then moved his worldwide office of Evangelization 2000 to be centered out of Washington, D.C. There was a Redemptorist house there, and so he was able to live there, but then his office was also located right there, just walking distance from Catholic University and the Basilica, the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And so I got to know Father Tom Forrest, first of all, through his obviously worldwide reputation and all that he did to speak around the world in the work of evangelization, especially in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, but beyond that as well. Well, I first got to encounter him at a meeting that he pulled together. One of their initiatives was bringing together leaders of Catholic efforts of evangelization. It was an association of Catholic schools of evangelization. And so a school of evangelization was like an initiative in ministry or, you know, an actual program of learning. And so I got to go because of my work with Father Mark Montminy and all that we were doing at this parish in Manchester, New Hampshire. So I went down to this meeting and got a chance to be in the same room with Father Tom Forrest. It was amazing. And it was really powerful. It was powerful. In fact, one of my first memories was that at this meeting, again, here I am sitting with these like most prominent, well-known, mature leaders in the field of Catholic evangelization in North America. I'm sitting in the room with them. There was probably 35 or 40 of us, something like that. And there's me, a 27-year-old guy who's working at a parish and doing some cool things, but just working at a parish. And Father Tom at one point said, "All right, I feel a call right now that we should pray one for another." And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your head down and I want you to pray. And then when you feel called to pray with someone, go to that person and then pray together. And I said, okay. And so we all started praying and I just put my head down and I said, I'm not moving. It's just, who am I? I'm not going to go move and reach out to anybody. And so I just sat there quietly praying. And all of a sudden I got a little tap on my shoulder and I looked up and it was Father Tom Forrest. And so he then prayed for me and I prayed for him. And again, just sort of eyes down, hands on each other's shoulders, praying. And when we were done, looked up, everyone else had finished and they were back in their seats. That was really powerful. What an amazing memory. Okay. So that was my first encounter with Father Tom. And one of the things that was so striking about Father Tom was his ability to proclaim the truth of the gospel and the work of evangelization, to preach it like nobody else. And and I really mean that. There are only, I can only think of maybe one other guy that I've ever seen. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to tell you in a minute, and I'm going to dive into other factors.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran, and today I'm sharing with you the impact of Father Tom Forrest on my life. And just before the break, I was mentioning, and here's how I'll call it, Father Tom was the greatest pure preacher that I had ever met and had a chance to be around. The greatest pure preacher. When I say a pure preacher, here's what I mean. He never needed to tell stories. So many people who preach or teach, they use a type of, like the best ones, will use a type of roller coaster experience of the talk, right? So like on a roller coaster ride, click, 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 kind of bringing people up, and then you're kind of giving them some anticipation, and then whoosh, you bring them down, and you get really energetic and speak with the dynamism, and then you slow it back down again, and you go around some corners, and you do a loop, right? So You can talk about sort of the flow of a talk, of a presentation at a conference or retreat, sort of like that, right? And you're going to tell stories, and you're going to use some humor, and you're going to use other professional speaking techniques. And that's what I did. I would rely a lot on stories and engaging with the audience, a lot of use of my hand gestures and very Italian in my presentation style. Father Tom, he could stand behind the ambo, behind a lectern. He could just stand there and have his outline in front of him. And when he would speak, he would quote a scripture, and then he'd speak this truth. And then he'd go to the second point. And you put almost anybody else up there, and you give them the outline, and they could deliver the same content. But it would not have the same impact, because Father Tom, when he spoke, the words that he spoke were so invested with, let's say, the power of God, the presence of God, with a sense of depth. There was an authenticity, right? These different words I'll use to try to describe the reality that he wasn't a striking figure in terms of being, very handsome. He looked a lot older than he actually was. But when he preached, it gripped you. And I got to see this day to day because when I left St. Marie's in Manchester, New Hampshire, I worked there for 3 years. Then I went back to school to get this PhD in theology at the Catholic University of America. And it was, guess what, walking distance to Father Tom and his office. Well, Father Tom recruited me to be the director for the continent of North America of Evangelization 2000 while I was at Catholic University and getting my PhD. And so I had this incredible opportunity, not only to study theology, but also to take on this position, this position in Evangelization 2000. And in so many ways, that was the position that would have been my ideal after I got my PhD. And the fact that Father Tom offered it to me then was just an amazing gift. What that meant was day to day, when I would come into the office, we would start the day with him saying Mass with us there at the office. And I got to watch how he would preach. He would read the gospel, and then he would just start preaching. Like, he didn't plan it. He didn't study. He didn't come with notes. And what I learned from him, what I witnessed from him, and one of the blessings I took away was that you can become so familiar, you can become so intimate with the scriptures, that in the simple task of prayerfully proclaiming them or just prayerfully reading through them, in this case, announcing them in the concept of Mass, the word of God that it is will touch a place in you because the word of God has found a home in you so that you could most naturally, but supernaturally graced, be able to speak forth an insight from that word. And I'll tell you, that was the fruit of his decades and decades of prayerfully meditating with the scriptures, praying with the scriptures, and then speaking the word, the truth of God's word from the scriptures. That pattern is something that I absorbed from Father Tom. And it's something that I've sought to make my own. And so the idea of taking time to just ponder the scriptures, just sitting with the scriptures, reading God's word, asking the Holy Spirit to make this a living word, welcoming that word into my heart, letting that word find a home, and then being able to speak forth some word that has come forth from what I've received, that comes forth from my heart, that I've received that word within me. That's a pattern of life, brothers and sisters, that I want to hand on to you. This is not about memorizing scriptures. This is about the word becoming flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that word that became flesh and dwelt among us was Jesus, right? The scriptures is the word of God. And that word of God can take flesh in you. You have a Bible. Prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit, make this to me, make it for me a living word. Ask Jesus. Jesus, you're standing at the door knocking. Jesus, I'm seeing this cover of this book as a door, and I'm going to open the door of the scriptures, and I'm going to ask that you come in and speak to my heart. Come and dwell in my heart. It says in the Second Vatican Council documents, it says in Ad Gentes, paragraph 4, it says that the Father comes to us in the scriptures and lovingly speaks to his children. And so, Father, I invite you to come and speak to me, your child. Speak to me in your word. Lord, I want this word to take flesh in me. I want my life to reverberate. I want it to be a life where your word is shining forth. That kind of prayer is a Father Tom Forrest prayer. That kind of, you can see, okay, just hear it. You start doing that, your life's going to change. You start doing that, And you don't have to think, oh, here I am interacting with somebody. Maybe it's my kids, maybe it's my spouse, and I'm trying to speak in a way that has some impact. Well, if I've welcomed God's word into my life, then when I speak forth to my kids, it'll carry some of that power of God's word. It will shine forth. It will have an impact. And again, it's not an impact based on techniques and antics and having certain professional skills honed in us. No, this is about God's grace forging a space in our hearts and in our lives. Father Tom witnessed to that by how he lived. I got to experience that and be surrounded by that, and got to have his relationship with the Word. I was so blessed by that, and it gave me just that much more of an impetus to want to imitate that. In some ways, you know, you actually get to experience some of this if you follow and walk with me on Sound Insight through the years. You know that I do those Monday programs with Father Nagel and Father Lewis, and for years before that with Father Northrup and Father Nagel, and even before that with Father Northrup. And one of the things that is a natural activity for us is we'll often take, maybe it's the scriptures, maybe it's the catechism, quotes from the catechism, or some other texts that we're reading, and we'll just encounter them together, like live. Boom. Okay, here's the quote. What does it mean? And if you're sometimes struck by, wow, those are some really neat insights that are being shared there. Among them, part of it is that those texts that are being discussed are tapping into the fund of encounters, the multiplicity of all of those encounters with God's word, with pondering God's word, and it's drawing something forth from it. And so do not doubt, brothers and sisters, that your time contemplating Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, your time contemplating the scriptures and taking in God's word, your time contemplating the word of God as it is served up to us in the liturgy of the hours, in office of readings, morning prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, and going to Mass and welcoming the presence of Christ in the community, in the scriptures, in the priest, and in the Eucharist, that this will change you and it'll give you this fund to draw on in the moment. So as you undertake aspects that help you grow in holiness, it will overflow into your work on mission, your work day to day in the mission field. That was something that was deepened in a mighty way through the impact of Father Tom Forrest on my life. All right. Let me dig into some very specific concepts, things that, again, really have shaped how I've lived my life. I have felt a call to evangelize from the very time of my awakening of faith as an 18-year-old. I was set on fire for Jesus, encountered him in the Blessed Sacrament, loved reading the scriptures, loved praying the rosary, loved going to Mass, and now I was on fire to tell everybody else about Jesus. And in doing so, I bumped up against the work of evangelization, proclaiming Jesus, answering people's questions, helping engage them to consider Christ, to consider the church. So it's apologetics, it's dialogue, it's evangelization, it's that whole work of mission that I was doing, and I loved it. And there was this awakening sense that said, yeah, I'm studying electrical engineering right now, but building computers is just not that, just doesn't really hold a candle to the work of proclaiming Jesus and helping Catholics come alive in the faith and help share that faith in the world and all of that work. Okay, so I had that burning fire and zeal to evangelize in me. But Father Tom helped refine it. And he did so with the help of Pope John Paul II. I mentioned to you that Father Tom, when Pope John Paul II became Pope in 78, and then in 1982, he announced this call for a new evangelization. and a new evangelization that would be new in fervor, in new in method, and new in expression. And so this threefold newness of evangelization was associated with the Great Jubilee Year 2000. And St. John Paul II, back in the 1980s, when he did this, he started to use certain key words that helped, if you will, draw Father Tom Forrest away from his direct focused effort in the world of charismatic renewal to an effort to promote the new evangelization in anticipation of the Great Jubilee Year 2000. The first of those words was Kairos, that this was a Kairos moment. Now, when you hear that, if you listen to my program, you know that I would talk and have talked quite a bit of time in my 20 years on the radio about understanding the different meanings of the word time in the scriptures. There is chronos, a chronological time. A chronology is a calendar understanding of time. Here's the past, here's the present, there's the future. And so it's a horizontal unfolding of time. And this time includes different seasons, right? So you have these four seasons, you've got the calendar year, you've got this cycle that goes on, but this cycle is kind of like a rolling wheel from the past to the future, horizontal time. And that's not a bad thing, right? That's a beautiful understanding that God created the world, and in creating this universe, with a beginning and it has an end. And we're moving from the beginning to the end. Okay. There's another understanding of time. And again, if you've heard this program, you know what I'm going to say. This is not the horizontal understanding of time, chronos. It is the vertical interruption, the vertical inbreaking, the vertical breaking open of the moment in time. And when it gets broken open, something extraordinary happens. So this is an understanding of time as an extraordinary happening or an event. There it is. Father Tom is the one who emphasized and helped me focus in on the meaning of discerning a Kairos moment, a now is the time moment. Right, you're in the scriptures, you not only have this chronological understanding of times, but you have the 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now is the time of salvation, right? Brothers and sisters, I beg you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation, right? So there's that understanding of an event. There's an understanding of an inbreaking moment. And that is at the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel is not chronological time. The heart of the gospel is now is the time. Now is the moment. And I'll dig into this further in just a moment. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I'm sharing with you insights that I gained from Father Tom Forrest. You can see how they've shaped and molded my life, and I hand them on to you. Not every moment is equal. Not all moments are the same. There are Kairos moments. And a Kairos moment is a moment that is determined by God and not by us. We don't say, hey, God, now is the time for you to act. So please get to it. And the Lord is like, oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. Let me jump in here and lend a hand. No, Kairos moments are determined by God. In accord with his divine providence, he breaks into the present moment, he breaks it open, and he says, here I am, I'm going to do something extraordinary. I said just before the break that this is at the heart of the gospel. When Jesus showed up, right, at the beginning gospel of Mark, Jesus shows up, and what does he do? He announces the good news. What's the central message of the gospel? Now is the time, right? What does he say? Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. All right. So where is the kairos moment in that? Well, it's the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's now. It's interrupting. It's interrupting your ordinary programming. It's interrupting the flow of your day. Ready or not, here it comes. It's breaking in. The kingdom of God. God and his presence and power is breaking into this moment. It's breaking upon your life. And it's here and it's now. It's at hand. And you are called upon to recognize that this is happening. And then there's a response that is appropriate. It's required for someone who wants to respond correctly and in accord with the requirements of the inbreaking kingdom of God. And what is it? Jesus tells us, repent, turn your life around. Turn your life, you're going in one direction, turn it around and go in another direction. There's going to be a conversion of mindset, a conversion of attitude, a conversion of behavior, a complete transformation of your life. Repent and then believe, that is, trust and entrust your life to the one who's breaking in and revealing to you who God really is. And so that's the gospel. It's called good information. Jesus came to proclaim good information. I'm joking, right? He didn't. He came to proclaim good news. News. News is that kind of information that when it's heard, it requires a response. And if you don't respond to it when it's announced, you have not heard it as news. Do you get it? Let me give you an example of news versus mere information. Someone comes bursting into the room and says, hey, everybody, 2 + 2 = 4. Hey, everybody, Boston is the capital of Massachusetts. Hey, everybody, right? It's 32 degrees outside. This is information. You can hear it and you can say, thank you, appreciate that. I could have figured that out. That doesn't really mean anything to me right now. Versus someone comes in and says, hey, everybody, we've received a bomb threat and all of the doors are armed to set it off except for one door. It's the only safe way out. And I know which way it is. The bomb is going to go off in 25 seconds. We barely have enough time to get out of the building. Come, follow me right now. All right. Someone comes bursting into your room, into your office, into your classroom, into, you know, the building where you are and says that, you know, screaming and yelling and saying, come on, follow me. What do you do? What do you do? Well, you act differently than if someone said 2 + 2 = 4, the capital of Massachusetts is Boston. You act differently because that's just information and it has no impact on your life in that moment. But when that herald announces that a bomb is going to go off and there's only one way out, and I know which way it is, and we only have time to barely get there, follow me now, you have to make a decision. And that decision is that guy telling the truth? Is that guy credible? Is what that guy's saying true or not? And everything rides on that. You have to make a decision. You have to. You cannot not make a decision. You either have to say, I don't believe that person. He's not credible. Well, the announcement is incredible, and I'm making my decision. I don't believe him. Or you make the decision, you know what? I do believe him. Now, you might believe what he's saying and accept what it's true, but then you've got to decide, am I going to trust him to follow him out, or am I going to go out another door, or am I going to climb out a window, or am I going to try to hide? I'm going to respond, but I'm not going to follow him. That's a whole other level of belief. You've accepted the news. Now you've got to respond to it. Okay. Have you ever given thought to the reality that our Catholic faith is traced back to news, to an announcement? And that announcement involves your life intimately, profoundly, and every detail, completely and forever. There is an announcement at the core of being a Catholic. And if you recognize that there's an announcement at the basis of your living your Catholic faith, then the question is, am I living my faith on the basis of that announced news? Or am I simply following a custom, a tradition, something that was culturally handed on to me, and I come to accept it now that I'm older as a correct interpretation of the world, but it's made up of facts, bunch of true facts, even facts revealed by God, and it reveals a way of life that I should follow. And yeah, okay. Does it have that decisive, incisive, all or nothing quality of news? My proposal, and let me just say, standing behind me is Father Tom Forrest's proposal, is that the great majority of Catholics have never heard this. Never heard this. We essentially learned our faith in a classroom setting, whether that classroom was Sunday school, whether it was at a Catholic school, or whether it was at home. We memorized answers to questions. We memorized content that was taught to us. And so we received it as information. Information that was kind of like learning history or learning geography. It's a bunch of facts, but these are religious facts that are about our relationship with God. But we never heard news. We never heard the gospel proclaimed as news. And that's just a huge tragedy. We're missing the foundation. We're missing the foundation that Jesus is for me everything. This was a Father Tom thing, right? The Philippians, St. Paul, that all else is refuse. And it means it's dog poop. All else is nothing, is crap compared to knowing Jesus Christ. That's St. Paul. I'm quoting him. I'm actually not even using the rougher language that you'll see in the scriptures for what St. Paul identifies as what everything else is compared to Christ for him. And so, Father Tom did. Father Tom would say, we must proclaim the gospel, this good news, to Catholics to awaken them to the inbreaking of God and his kingdom and the King who is Jesus into their lives. They must recognize that Christ is breaking in to every dimension of their lives, and wants to break it open, and he wants to empty it out, and he wants to fill it with himself, and then he wants to send us forth as his hands and feet into the world. That's the Kairos moment of the life of faith. All right, Father Tom would say, if that's the entirety of our faith is based on this Kairos moment of the coming of Christ, and therefore the coming of Christ not only in history, but in our own personal history, there are also Kairos moments in the life of the church. Moments where the Lord specially identifies and designs graces for the church to be poured out upon the church so that the church could fulfill its mission to be the continuation of Christ on earth, to bring salvation to the world. And we lived through such a moment. That moment, according to St. John Paul II, was the great Jubilee year 2000. He called it the most important anniversary in the history of humanity. Okay, you didn't hear it. Well, let me say it again. St. John Paul II called the year 2000 to be the most important anniversary in the history of humanity. That is striking. And sad to say, we missed the moment. Ouch. We missed the moment. I'll talk more about this in just a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran, and I'm honoring Father Tom Forrest by sharing with you insights I've gained from him and how I took them into my own life and how they've shaped my own life and my spirit. You hear me talk and preach with such passion. This is from Father Tom. It was from God through Father Tom, who keyed me into the, here's the key word now, discernment. The discernment of Pope John Paul II. When he, in celebrating the 500th anniversary of the 500th anniversary? 1492? It was 10 years before that. He announced this special time of evangelization, this new evangelization. And he said it was a new evangelization in anticipation of the great Jubilee year 2000. So in discerning Kairos moments, moments where God is breaking in and breaking open and is going to pour a great grace to do extraordinary things in the world and in the church, through the church into the world, we are called upon to discern that. And in discerning, is this what God's doing? We then have to discern, how are we supposed to respond? St. John Paul II said some of the most extraordinary things about the years leading up to the great Jubilee year 2000 and entering into the third millennium. You might remember, he says, I sense that now is the time to devote all of the church's energies to the work of evangelization and proclaiming the gospel ad gentes, to proclaim the gospel to those who have never heard the name of Jesus. And that this is the time the church is to devote all of her energies. He says, I see the dawning of a new missionary age, which will be a glorious, glorious springtime bearing an abundant harvest if we respond to the calls and challenges of our time with generosity and holiness. There it is. Do you see what he saw? Do you sense what he sensed? Have you taken in what John Paul II discerned, that this is a time of a new springtime? It will be it'll bring an abundant harvest, a new springtime in our life of faith. But it requires us to respond with generosity and holiness to the calls and challenges of our time. Well, you hear about this new springtime. You hear about a new evangelization leading to the great Jubilee year 2000 that will lead to a new springtime. Do we see a new springtime in the life of the church? And sadly, the answer is no. We don't see a new springtime. If anything, we see a new winter. The falling off of so many in the life of the church, especially in the Western world, but in America, we've seen such a decline in the Catholic faith in the past 25 years since the great Jubilee year 2000. So we have one of two things to conclude. Either John Paul II was wrong in his discernment, or we missed the moment. In fact, he discerned correctly. This is the call. This is the grace. This is what the Lord is doing. And you know what we did do is what we didn't do. We didn't respond with generosity and holiness to the calls and challenges of our time. We just didn't. We missed the moment. And sad to say, I was there watching it all unfold. In the 90s, I worked with Father Tom Forrest from 1992 to 1995, and then continued to bring this message of evangelization, the new evangelization, the new springtime, discerning the great Jubilee year 2000, running along with Father Tom, continuing the work in evangelization 2000. I moved out here to, Seattle to be with Carrie's family, and I continued to speak at conferences all over the country throughout those years. Doing, you know, retreats for priests and deacons and speaking at evangelization conferences and all these other conferences and promoting this and working at a national level and blah, 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 blah. And the church in America treated the decade of evangelization and the years leading up to the great Jubilee year 2000 as just providing themes for banners and for conferences. It was so sad. It was tragic. The way in which we responded at an institutional level, just organizing events and programs. this idea of a zealous, courageous pursuit of the Lord and in holiness, proclaiming Jesus Christ, we missed the moment. So a great Jubilee year, right? This would be another theme that I gained from Father Tom, was an appreciation for the reality of Jubilee, that you're discerning what's God doing. And if God is saying, I have a kairos moment, I have a special inbreaking, a vertical inbreaking into the ordinary flow of your life, I'm going to break in, break open, I'm going to empty you out, pour into you, and something extraordinary is going to happen. And one of the ways to gather that concept together of what's the Lord doing, it's Jubilee. A Jubilee year was something that would happen in certain seasons in the history of the Jewish people. Every 50 years was a time of Jubilee. And so that was what? Seven sets of 7 years. The number seven, right, was a number of completion. And so you had seven sets of seven, that's 49. So the 50th year was a Jubilee year, a year of rest, a year of forgiveness of debts, so the forgiveness of sins, a year of favor from the Lord, a year of the Lord pouring out generously upon his people and taking care of them. It was a year of letting the land lie fallow. So it was, again, it was a year of worship and leisure and welcoming the Lord. So so many of these blessings are Jubilee blessings, and the word Jubilee comes from joy. And it was, this is again a Father Tom insight, that Jubilee wasn't so much that in a Jubilee year, because of these blessings, we would come to take more joy in God. Yes, we would do that, but that wasn't the first meaning of Jubilee joy. The first meaning of Jubilee joy was that in a Jubilee year, we would come to discover even more fully through all of these blessings, how much joy God takes in us, how much joy God takes in you. Stunning. So powerful. That was Father Tom's insight. And it changed my life. These insights changed my life. The idea of discerning, kairos moment, Jubilee year, this great idea of joy, not missing the moment. What would it take to be able to discern and live in a way that you would welcome in the Jubilee graces, this graces of encountering God's joy in you in a whole new way? Father Tom had two phrases that he would use. And if you've been listening to my program in the last month and a half, you're going to say, Tom, you've been using these two phrases so often, and you didn't make them up. No, I didn't. I got these from Father Tom Forrest in the 1990s. And it was his way of unfolding what it would take to respond appropriately to a Jubilee grace. And one phrase was, no half measures. No half measures. And the other phrase was, it's not business as usual. A kairos moment, it's not business as usual. Business as usual, not going to get the job done. You won't properly respond to what is being asked of you in a Jubilee, in a kairos moment. And business as usual won't get it done, and half measures won't accomplish it. Won't get it done. No half measures. And so there was a sense of totality, a sense of all in, a sense of now is the time. Let's go. Move them out. These would be the kind of phrases that Father Tom would stir with energy, with dynamism in his preaching, is proclaiming with this vigor, with this authenticity and profundity, these messages. I got to witness them. I got to be in the presence of him as he not only would preach these things at conferences, but how he lived his life. So incredible. And, you know, just to give you one of the lingering impacts is that I wrote a book on the Mass called the Mass, Four Encounters with Jesus That Would Change Your Life, that will change your life. And it was all based on a walking through the Mass. And I didn't walk through the Mass like Scott Hahn and the Lamb's Supper and identifying Old Testament themes, or I didn't walk through the Mass with a history of how the Mass was unfolded. No, I used the theology of event, kairos moments, the breaking in. That was Father Tom. God bless.